Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. Fireball Hot Take Friday. We are live from the Gaylord Springs Golf Course today, where the NFL alumni is having their annual golf outing. So we are excited to be here.
It is a beautiful day.
It is a beautiful Fireball Hot Take Friday. We've got College World Series coming up. Vanderbilt and Tennessee. Vanderbilt tomorrow, Tennessee on Sunday. And you're always going to get this because they're on opposite sides of the bracket.
Uh-huh.
But I do love having one day, the other the next day. Then Vandy will go again on Monday. Then the Vols will go again on Tuesday.
Take a little breather.
And there's going to be each one. And I just want to say this. I have a quick thought, then we'll get right back to your phones on the Titan stuff because apparently a lot of people are fired up on it today.
Well, it is a Fireball Hot Take Friday.
I just want to say this. Vanderbilt fans know how hard the College World Series is. Like, Vanderbilt fans know. And I don't see a lot of, like, I see Vanderbilt fans that are like, yep, go back to Omaha. We're excited. Let's see, you know, that kind of thing. I see Tennessee fans that are like, we're going to Omaha and we're winning the whole thing, baby. And it's like, slow down. Slow down. It's hard. I've seen teams that were the betting favorite go into the College World Series and get ripped in two games. I mean, it is like the game that the Vols played against Wright State, where they came all the way back and they hit the walk-off grand slam with Drew Gilbert, and it was like, oh, here we go. You're not doing that against these teams. Like, you're just not. I mean, you're getting ace pitchers. You're getting great offenses. It is a legitimately survive and advanced to the truest form, and it is hard. And Vanderbilt has an advantage because Vanderbilt's got two aces they can throw. And Tennessee doesn't. You know, Chad Dallas is not Jack Leiter. So I hear Vanderbilt fans, and I think they know. They know they've got a good team. They know they've got a good chance. But they're kind of cautious about, hey, you know, let's, you know, it's great to be in Omaha. Let's see where it goes from here. Tennessee fans are talking about winning the championship. Mm-hmm. And I would just say slow down. In basketball, for example, this is the Elite Eight. And it's not the Final Four. And even then, you know, when you're in the Elite Eight, you feel great about being there, but you know the road is just so much harder. It's like I didn't hear a lot of Titan fans when they beat Baltimore and had to play Kansas City. I didn't hear a lot of going to the Super Bowl talk because everybody knew how good Kansas City was. That's just my one message to Tennessee fans this weekend is, look, your luck in the College World Series can change real quickly, and just be careful because it's going to be difficult.
Well, Tennessee fans have every right to be excited because this hasn't happened in a very long time. They're a very talented team, and I don't want to say that they won't win the College World Series because there's a good chance that they probably could.
But see, I think it's like an even chance. So there's eight teams there. And I mean, they've got like a 1 out of 8 chance of doing it. Whereas
every
I would not
team
give
has
Vanderbilt,
a chance to win.
I might give Vanderbilt like a 2 out of 8 chance. You know, 1 out of 4, like a 25% chance. I may give Vanderbilt that because of the pitching and knowing that if they can get to the final series. I mean, all Vanderbilt has to do is win the first two games.
Right.
They win the first two games of the regional, they're probably going to win the World Series. What do we have in our text line? 615-737-1025. Our text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. On your Titans thoughts offensively, Caroline, what's in there?
The Canadian Titan texted in and said, would you agree that more than time of possession, it's important to have an offense that starts strong? And every loss last season, the Titans started slow. I think less than 10 points per half. To me, that feels like the bigger concern.
So I would say yes, but at the same time, I'm going to say no. I think the two things I think the two things that matter for this team is ball control and turnovers. And turnovers matter for every team. But ball control and turnovers. And I know the idea of starting fast, and they are a better team when they start fast, because when you start fast and you have a lead, you are able to dictate what you want to do, which is exactly how the Titans are at their best, is when Tannehill can, at the line of scrimmage, decide what to do. On third down and 13, Tannehill is not a great quarterback because his options are limited. On second down and 4, Tannehill is one of the best quarterbacks in the game because the play action is very relevant, and he can look at what you do, and he can dictate how he wants to go about it. So, yeah, I mean, like, I think starting strong is always good, but I don't think it's the end-all be-all. Chris Sanders, and I used to get into this. You know what I'm going, where I'm going, Ian, don't you?
Oh, yes, I do.
The coin toss. He thinks the coin toss is like the most important thing in the entire game of football. It's like, Chris, the Bengals are playing the Chiefs this week. Who do you take? Who wins the coin toss? The Bengals. I'll take the Bengals. That's how much Chris Sanders loves the coin toss. So I don't really subscribe to that theory. I don't think that you need to start strong to win a game. And the other thing, too, that Tannehill's got to be able to do is, can Tannehill come back when you're down 17-3 against a good team? Now, they almost did last year against the Steelers. They almost came back. They had no shot. I know they lost like 41-35 to the Browns. They had no shot of winning that game. Although that wasn't really Tannehill's fault. Adam Humphries dropped a ball that really ended any chance they would have had, and it fell right into the hands of the defender. But can Tannehill bring you back in a game where you're down? Can Tannehill bring you back? And I would say that the Titans really have to improve kicking if they're going to be the kind of offensive team that you all want them to be. Because I was just thinking it through in my head, the two games, there were three games last year where the Titans really made a run at it in the second half, or feasibly could have made a run in the second half. Indianapolis at home, Pittsburgh at home, Cleveland at home. Cleveland at home, they lost because the defense couldn't do anything, and Adam Humphries dropped the ball at the goal line right into the hands of the other guy. Pittsburgh at home, Gostkowski missed a game-tying kick. And Indianapolis at home, I want to say they were down 17 in the third quarter, and Gostkowski missed a kick. Maybe it was 10 they were down, but it was something where they needed the field goal, and Gostkowski missed the kick, and once he missed the kick, it was like, this game's over. What's next?
Brandon texted in, how are you going to say the Titans can't outscore other teams? Have you watched this Tennessee team play at all in the past 2 years?
Who have they outscored?
Well, I mean, every team they beat, but...
who have they outscored? Like, I think anybody can say, well, I mean, they've always...
Well, it was a good offense last year, 100%. And if you look at the rankings in the grand scheme of the league, yeah, the Titans' offense was at the top.
But what games did the prolific offense take on the other team and outscore them? And the reason I say this is because it's easy. It's easy to sit there and say, they were the number two offense in the league last year. Jared, what are you talking about? They can outscore anybody. But it's not exactly Kansas City, and I'll explain why. Because last year, they scored 16 points to beat Denver. That's not outscoring somebody. Mm-hmm. That's beating a bad team. Here are the games where I feel like they legitimately outscored the other team. 31-30 against the Vikings, they stink. 42-46 against the Texans, they stink. Like, would you consider 24-17 in which you got a defensive touchdown outscoring Chicago? Or would
Chicago
that just be beating a bad team?
Beating a bad team.
That had Nick Foles a quarterback. Okay? Now, you can consider this outscoring and a come-from-behind win, 30-24 in overtime on the road at Baltimore. That you can consider outscoring the other team. But Lamar Jackson is probably the easiest quarterback in the league to outscore. Because they don't rack up a bunch of points because they're not going to light you up. But again, we're talking about outscoring good teams. They lost to Cleveland 41-35, couldn't outscore them. Now they outscored the Lions 46-25. Way to go against the Lions. A week later against the Packers, they lost 40-14. When it comes to the good teams, like when you talk about outscoring somebody, I look at that like, okay, the Indianapolis Colts just hung 35. You got to hang 36. Not you beat the Chicago Bears by 7 because Desmond King ran a ball into the end zone for a touchdown. There's a big difference. And the Titans don't outscore people. They put 42 on Buffalo in a random weird Tuesday night game last year. But that was because Josh Allen threw two interceptions that turned right into touchdowns. That's not outscoring. So Tannehill threw for like 112 yards in that game. That's not outscoring somebody. When I talk about outscore, I talk about you going in there knowing that Kansas City is going to hang 35 and you got to hang 36. And that's not their game. Even when they beat those teams, it wasn't their game when they beat the Ravens in the playoffs. It wasn't when they beat the Patriots in the playoffs. When they beat Kansas City at home last year in 2019, that wasn't how they did it. Corey Curtis, News 2, will join us next. 615-737-1025. We'll get his takeaways from minicamp and his thoughts as we turn our attention now to what will be the regular season. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I have told you guys that they are my guys, and they are because they take fantastic care of my home, and I promise you they can do the same for you. Summer weather is here, and it's the time of year when your AC system will be working overtime. If your unit is nearing the end of its lifespan or you're starting to have trouble keeping your home cool enough, now is the time to replace it. Do not let this go a month because it is going to be scorching hot around here. Hiller is offering special financing on HVAC systems this summer. Get a new system installed and pay zero interest for 60 months. Don't wait till you're uncomfortable. Go ahead and ensure you're ready for peak temperatures. Visit happyhiller.com for all of the details. As always, happy you'll be here. The service is free. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of the Preds and the Vols. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today. Go to thegamenashville.com. Check out Nashville's best deals. This week's new deal is a $50 gift card for only $25 to Nashville's newest and largest axe-throwing venue, Bad Axe Throwing Nashville in downtown at 648 Fog Street. Aim for a great time at Bad Axe Throwing Nashville while enjoying panoramic downtown views, live music on the Bad Axe stage, curated cocktails from the full bar, and a Northwoods-inspired menu with a Southern twist. Other deals we've got going on right now include $30 Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House gift card for only $15. Buy one, get one free for Beach Bend Park and Splash Lagoon. $30 Party Foul gift card for only $15. $20 Grain and Berry gift card for only $10. Get yours now while they last at thegamenashville.com. Titans minicamp is over, and while I think that a lot of us feel good about the Titans, there are still many question marks that remain, and Corey Curtis joins us now from News 2. So, Corey Curtis, you were out there for one of the two mandatory minicamp days. What question marks do you have about the Titans still, and what now do you feel good about as far as the Titans are concerned?
Well, I mean, I got a million questions. I mean, you know, first is the four-headed defensive coordinator monster going to work? You know, now that Shane's been officially given the job, I mean, is that still going to work? That has to be proven. You know, can Bud Dupree come back from his knee injury and be the $16 million guy that they're paying for? Can all of these youngsters produce in the secondary? Because we haven't seen any of them do it yet in the National Football League. Can Julio Jones and A.J. Brown stay on the field all season this year? Both of them battled injuries last year. Can Derrick Henry hold up to 800 carries over 2 years? I mean, I got a ton of questions and concerns, but, you know, there are also plenty of things that I feel good about. I mean, I never dreamed, I've been here for over 20 years, and I never dreamed I'd see a Titans offense with the caliber of wide receivers of A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, you know, together at the same time combined with Derrick Henry. I mean, It's electric. I'm encouraged that Denico Autry combined with Bud Dupree and Harold Landry, that there will be a pass rush, but, you know, we got to see it. There's stuff to like, and there's tons of questions, and that's why they play 17 games, I guess.
What impressed you on the field at minicamp?
You know, I was glad to see Elijah Molden out there, and I went to go watch him, and I just couldn't stop watching Jack Rabbit Jenkins. The guy plays hard and practices hard. And, you know, he really caught my eye. That was one of the things that I absolutely, saw most. And, you know, Julio Jones, I didn't know what to expect. He looked really good. I mean, to me, he looked really good. And I continue to be a guy who likes Brian Hill and likes that addition and what he can bring to the team. And, you know, I wish I'd gotten to be there on the second day, because I think I would have seen a little bit more of what I wanted to see, which is kind of more of what they were doing on offense and stuff. And I know we can't really talk about specifics of that, but I really wanted to see how Darrington Evans was deployed, because I think that there's going to be a plan for him when they get out there. But, you know, Jenkins and Jones, those guys, you know, really, really caught my eye. And I like the young backs.
You know, it's funny, you brought up the four-headed monster, a defensive coordinator, and I actually, one of the one things that I thought mattered from what Vrabel said over the week was he was asked about that, and he talked about how it was his job to kind of be the decision maker there when he said, hey, I'm the head coach, and it's the job of the head coach. And it wasn't – it stood out to me that he didn't say, hey, Shane's the defensive coordinator. We love Jim Schwartz. We think he's great. We love Jim Haslett. We think he's great. But Shane is the defensive coordinator. It wasn't that. It was, I'm the head coach. And I found that to be very telling, Corey, and I'm with you. The Shane Bowen thing, I have not heard John Robinson nor Mike Vrabel truly endorse this guy.
Well, what did John say? Well,
continuity.
Continuity is good. Didn't talk about him being smart or a great coach. And listen, I don't have anything against Shane Bowen. I think he's in a tough spot. I think he's in a really, really tough spot. And let me ask you this, Jared, and I know it's your show and you do the questions, but it's going to get us to where we need to go. Why is Dean Pease not the defensive coordinator anymore?
Oh, don't get me started on this. Do not get me started on this, Corey.
Because he doesn't want the defense dictated to him, right? It's his defense.
Dean Pease is not here, in my opinion, and again, I kind of have sourcing. Wesley Woodyard said it. Dean Pease is not here because of the same thing you said about Mike Vrabel the day after the season was over.
What, that he doesn't like questions?
No, you said that he was arrogant. That was what you said.
Oh, yeah.
You said he was arrogant.
Yeah,
and that's why Dean
Pease, did.
I think that's why Dean Pease isn't here.
Well, I also think that Dean Pease has been running defenses a long time, and he wants to run his defense.
Sure.
And he doesn't want the head coach coming in and telling him how to run his defense. And it's the same reason that why isn't Jim Haslett or why isn't Jim Schwartz the defensive coordinator? I mean, these guys have done it, and they've done it at a high level. Because neither of those guys wants to have the defense dictated to them. All right? There's one guy who needs the opportunity, and that's Shane Bowen. And that's why he's willing to take this opportunity. But, I mean, that's why they don't have, in my estimation, this is me speculating, my estimation why they don't have that experienced person there, because the head coach wants to be a big part of it. And you know what? He's the head coach. And that's what he wants. That's absolutely what he can do. But like you're talking about it, if it doesn't work, it's on him.
See, Corey Curtis is our guest news, too. When I heard Vrabel talk about that with the I'm the head coach, that made me think that we could see, if things don't go well early, we could see Jim Schwartz's role increase. Now, we wouldn't know it, but I'm just saying that behind the scenes, I think there's a chance we could see, once Schwartz knows exactly what Vrabel wants to do and can work it within those parameters, if early in the year they're not communicating well or the same issues that Bowen had last year are rearing their ugly head, I do think that behind the scenes, again, they would never announce this and we would never know about it, but the plate of responsibility could get a lot heavier for Jim Schwartz. What do you think?
You know, I don't know, because I don't know what's been promised, what's been worked out. I just know this. I mean, Jim Schwartz is an alpha dude and an intense dude. I remember Jim Haslett always being a super intense alpha personality. And, you know, Mike Vrabel's as alpha as they come. And I'd love to be a fly in the wall in that room when something goes wrong.
I would just say that when I heard Jim Schwartz and I thought about Jim Schwartz and Mike Vrabel, I think anybody that knows both guys had a little bit of a, how's that going to work out sense too? I know TD did, you know, I mean, how is that going to work out with it as far as that's concerned? Corey Curtis, News 2 is our guest. What concerned you when you were out at minicamp this week?
That was what I was talking about. You know, listen, I still need to. We didn't see Taylor Lewan. I'm certain Taylor Lewan will be in great shape and be ready to play. He sounded good when we got a chance to talk to him, but you know he's over 30 and he's had injuries. You know, I need to see him. I need to see him perform. You know, Roger Staffold. You know, he had a ton of injuries last year. I need to see him hold up. I mean, Roger looked huge, and so you know it's the injuries and you know. Are guys able to come back and be the players that they were? Because, you know, that's kind of what you're counting on at this point. You know, whether it be Julio or whether it be Taylor or whoever or Bud Dupree, you need those guys to be those guys because those guys are all making a ton of money.
Corey Curtis, News 2, is our guest. You once told me that in his rookie year, Derrick Henry did the player show. That Derrick Henry did the player show when you were hosting it. And you once told me that the ratings spiked that day that Derrick Henry was a guest. And I've always felt like once I heard that, that's when Floyd and I literally started talking about Derrick Henry and DeMarco Murray every day. And it worked.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wonder what your opinion is on this, which is College World Series this weekend, Vandy tomorrow night, Tennessee on Sunday, and there's a NASCAR race here in town. Which one do you think moves the needle this weekend in this city, baseball or NASCAR?
Can I say Julio Jones?
You can say whatever you want. I mean, hey, you've got Sports Extra coming up on Sunday.
You know, that's tough. I think it's awesome. There's two different communities, okay? There's two different communities. I think in Nashville, I think there's a lot of excitement with college baseball. There's a huge Tennessee fan base here, and I think there are people who like to identify with Vanderbilt baseball because they're very good. So I think there's something to that. But, you know, look, there's a huge segment of not necessarily Nashville, but the middle Tennessee area that loves car racing. I mean, Nashville's been a huge television market for NASCAR for years, which is why I could never understand why they didn't bring racing back here all those years. And for it to be back for the first time in 37 years is a really big deal. We were out there for the Tootsie's car with Daniel Suarez yesterday. You know, I if you were to tell me it was Tennessee and Vanderbilt in the finals, I would say that. But since we're just in the opening round, I'm going to go with the racing at the track this weekend.
Who do you think wins the Ally 400?
I'll go with Kyle Busch because he's the only guy I've ever seen win on that track.
I mean, I literally, like, I have no idea about any of this stuff. I would Martin Truex Jr., Kurt Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Sure. Sounds like a NASCAR driver. Makes sense to me.
Well, he's Bill Elliott's son, so yeah.
That also sounds like a NASCAR driver's name. Corey Curtis, Fireball Hot Take Friday. What is your hot take this week?
You know what? I got nothing. I'm punting.
What?
I'm punting. I got nothing.
That's your one job. Corey comes on this show every week. He does a great job. But the one thing you always bring is a hot take. You don't even have a hot take.
You want a NASCAR hot take?
Sure.
Here. Okay, here's a NASCAR hot take. There will come a day, and I don't think it will be far away, where we will have two cup races, one at National Super Speedway, one at the fairgrounds. We will have two cup races at two different tracks in one city, and I don't know that anyone else can boast that.
Sounds like plan to me, Corey Curtis. Love it. Appreciate you.
All right. All right, you have a great weekend.
You have Corey Curtis joining us on News 2. Can I just state for the record, I do not give two poops about the NASCAR race.
No, you've made that very clear.
Like, and I'm not here to make fun of NASCAR, though it is very easy to
do. It is so fun. If you
to
have,
make fun
if,
of it, or if, it's fun in general?
It's fun,
it is fun
in general.
To make fun of it.
If you have never been to a NASCAR race, then you don't have the right.
No, that is not true. That is
that
not
is
true.
Very true.
That's like everybody that will say, you didn't play the game, so you can't talk about it.
Oh, that is so false.
Nope, true.
So false. If you haven't experienced a NASCAR race.
I tried to watch NASCAR last year.
On TV?
Yes, because.
Not the same.
Because they were the first sport back, which makes a lot of sense given how COVID works.
Yep.
Makes a lot of sense. They were the first sport back. And then secondly, they got rid of the Confederate flags in NASCAR, which I liked. So I was like, okay.
Now what's your deal with that?
I'm glad they got rid of them.
Okay, good.
So I'm like, okay, let's give NASCAR a chance. It was the only sport on TV. So I was like, all right, I'm going to give NASCAR a chance. I got through like three laps, and then once I got through the three laps, I couldn't make it a fourth lap. I'm not knocking on NASCAR, and I agree with Corey, which is like, you know, and I'm not one to sit there and say like Nashville is like NASCAR city, but there's not really a big difference demographically from us and Charlotte and Atlanta and all of the big southern cities. Like, there's not a real big difference between Nashville and
no.
all of those. It's not like it's Miami.
It feels like it's overdue to have a NASCAR
sure.
race.
And if you
NASCAR,
like NASCAR,
if you will.
If you like NASCAR, I'm not dumping on you. I just could not give two poops. And I do fear, and this shouldn't be a fear because I'm sure it's more money for the radio station. If we got two cup races, like Corey said, I do fear that there's going to be a lot of people that are going to want us to talk racing. Well, and I just don't foresee.
Boogity, let's go racing.
Boogity, let's go racing, boys. Oh, my goodness. That's my favorite part. And that's gone.
That's gone.
I see he retired, and now I see Jeff Gordon wants to get out because he wants to go do something. And I like, who's going to start calling these NASCAR races?
Until you throw a pair of jorts on and some boots and you sit at a NASCAR race and you can get the full NASCAR experience, tailgate at Dega, then you cannot tell me that you don't like NASCAR.
Why would I want to do that?
It's so fun.
Why would I want to do that?
Why not? Chase, do you not like fun things?
I would rather go see WWE at Bridgestone Arena.
What's wrong with WWE? I think it'd be a blast.
Because it's wrestling. It's fake. Who cares about wrestling?
It's an excuse to go out and do something fun.
I would rather go to wrestling than to NASCAR. No offense to NASCAR. Again, I'm not saying people don't love it. People love NASCAR.
People love it.
I get it. They love it. They love the 23 car coming down the stretch at the end. I watched the Daytona 500 a couple years ago, and this is when I gave up on NASCAR. When I watched the Daytona 500, and I think it was Kurt Busch got in an accident, and like the car, these cars are going 200 miles an hour.
What's not cool about that?
No, sure. But so the guy gets hit, driver's side door, goes spinning backwards. The car is like upside down. I'm sick to my stomach. I'm like, oh my God, somebody died. And then the guy gets out of the car. I'm like, that literally defies physics. If, again, a
who
car
made you a physician?
Hit, a car hit his car door at 200 miles an hour. If you threw a baseball at somebody 200 miles an hour and it hit them, they would probably die. So this guy gets hit by a car.
If somebody hits you in the shin with a baseball, you're not going to die.
No, but if you get hit driver's side door by a baseball going 200 miles an hour,
baseball players don't wear the same kind of protection as
NASCAR. They do not have the car of tomorrow. I would agree. But I just, again, I'm not here. Again, I get it. People love it. And if you love NASCAR, love it. Love it. Yeah, I am happy for you. I love the Atlanta Braves, and I hate myself for that every day. So I understand loving something that's not popular. But, like, I just – how can you talk about NASCAR on the radio? I was thinking about this. Like, the only NASCAR talk I think I've ever done, like, at length, the two topics at NASCAR that actually mattered. One was, obviously, when they got rid of the flags last year, the whole Bubba Watson, the whole Bubba Watson thing. And then – like when Tony Stewart on that dirt track accidentally killed that guy. Those are like the two things in sports talk radio that people have discussed that are like, okay, these are legitimate NASCAR topics. Other than that, like, what do they talk about? Like, if you were to do NASCAR talk on the air, like, what would you say? Like,
well, we have a close friend at the station who does just that.
You know,
you can ask him.
Bubba got
maybe write down some pointers from him whenever this becomes NASCAR and company.
Bubba got a dent in his fender this week, and I wonder how that's going to hurt him when he's starting 13th in the race.
Oh, you have no right to talk about it if you don't watch it or if you don't like it.
Why not?
And I'm not some sort of, like, NASCAR fanatic. I'm not a NASCAR aficionado.
I don't know about that.
But I feel like if I'm going to be the voice of the people on this show, I'm going to defend it.
Your thoughts on NASCAR. Ian, should I do the NASCAR read now?
Yes.
Sounds a bit unkosher.
It's Bubba Wallace, not Bubba Watson.
Who's Bubba Watson's the golfer.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, 615-737-1025. Get your NASCAR thoughts in. We might get to them. I don't know. 615-737-1025. It is NASCAR weekend in Nashville for the first time in 37 years. Be sure to get your tickets for Saturday and Sunday. There's two races.
There's a truck race and then the cup race.
What's a truck race?
You race trucks?
Like they race like a pickup truck.
I guess so.
Like it's like an F-150 and then like a Chevy Silverado, and it's like they're racing those?
I don't know.
Not quite know. That, but.
Yeah, I think they're more like kind of banged up kind of trucks.
Oh, boy, this is a great weekend. Saturday and Sunday, tickets are going fast. Yeah, they are. Kids 12 and under get in free Friday and Saturday, plus experience the post-race fireworks Friday night. RV camping for NASCAR weekend is still available. For more info, visit NashvilleSuperSpeedway.com. And be sure to tune into the Ally 400 NASCAR Cup Series race broadcasted this Sunday on this great radio station with the coverage beginning at 1:30 and the race at 2:30 because nobody does NASCAR like 102.5 The Game. Stillman
you
and Company
right.
On a Fireball Hot Take Friday.
Let's go!
ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app. Gaylord Springs Golf Club on a Fireball Hot Take Friday, but we're here to talk about NASCAR. Because we got the NASCAR race here, the Allied 400. They're going to be racing. One car will drive faster than the other cars, and he will win on Sunday. Now, again, we're making fun of NASCAR. I get that. Like, it is a bit, like, let me say that. It is a big deal that we have a NASCAR race for the first time in 37 years.
It feels so overdue.
You say that as if you've lived here longer than 4 months.
No, I'm not. I mean, it feels overdue just in general. Like, if Charlotte didn't have a race, I would say it felt overdue that Charlotte didn't have a race. Just because I've only lived here for a few months. So I knew that Nashville existed before I moved here.
So is the text line mad at me? It's a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Is the text line mad at me because of my little rant about how, look, I get people like NASCAR. I like things that other people don't like. I get it. But, like, I do not think that it moves the needle. And, boy, I cannot do – like, what am I supposed to say when it comes to NASCAR? Like, good job, Rusty.
Good racing. Hey, there is probably a racer named Rusty.
What does the text line say about this NASCAR?
Text line, for the majority, agrees with you.
Yeah, I mean,
one texter texted in and said, I grew up in Bristol, Tennessee. NASCAR is terrible. They're 10 hours long, and you cannot say a single word to anyone the entire time because it is deafening.
Why would I do that to myself?
Because it's fun.
You say it's fun.
I have a good time.
How many NASCAR races have you been to?
One.
Okay, and please tell
I had
for
a
the
great
people,
time.
Please tell for the people what your day. Ian, have you been to a NASCAR race?
No, I have not.
I knew that'd be short. So please give us your experience at your one NASCAR race.
I was 11 years old. It was Talladega.
Starting off at the Super Bowl, basically.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, how am I not going to have a great time? My grandparents have always gone to Dega every year. They love going to Talladega, but it's more than just the race. It's the entire environment of it. There's tailgates. There are so many, like, a bunch of just pomp and circumstances about each driver. And then you get in the race, and it's just, it's electric. Everyone's excited. And that's the thing about NASCAR is it is such a niche sport. And
what makes it electric?
You don't go to a NASCAR race unless you love NASCAR.
Wait, no.
Everyone in there is just jazzed about
it. What makes it electric?
That I just told you. Like, I mean, like you, go
I would
to a,
say,
you go to
I would
a football
say a Predators
game.
Playoff game is electric. Like when the building is rocking and the team is good and you can feel the momentum at the – you can't tell me you feel that at a NASCAR race from those cars.
Tell me the difference between a Preds game and a Toronto Maple Leafs game or a Montreal Canadiens game.
I mean,
Preds fans are fun, and they're rowdy, and they're loud, and there's fun. That's exactly what NASCAR fans are. They're rowdy.
About
and
a car?
Mean. Yeah.
I just have a hard time seeing. Chase has always told me, he's like, you need to get to a NASCAR race. You got to go to a race. You got to go to a race.
You cannot talk about NASCAR races being not fun if you've never been to one.
No, nope, I'm going to say they're not fun. But if Chase, like, for 6 years has tried to convince me to go to a NASCAR race, and every time he's never properly sold it for me for why I would drive out of my way to watch a car go in a circle. Now, again, I think this is great. If they came to me and they were like, okay, if the head of NASCAR said, hey, Jared, we want to put a race permanently in Nashville. We know you're not a big NASCAR guy, but what do you think about the city getting out? Say, do it, sell it. Yes, let's do it. But if you then were to be like, and we want you to come to the race, I'd be like, I'm busy that day. I'm busy that day.
Then how are you going to endorse it and then turn around and say, oh, I don't want to go?
Because I think it's good for the city. Like, I think it's good for the city, even if it doesn't have to do with me.
You're going to endorse it and not even give it a shot.
Again, it's good for the town.
Yes, of course it is.
And I root for that. But if you're trying to convince me to go watch cars go in a circle and to drink a couple of beers and enjoy myself doing it, I can do that at my house. Like, I can literally go to
you
the gas station.
Watch cars go 200 miles an hour.
I can literally go to the gas station, pick up a 12-pack of Miller Lite, and sit there and
you
have
would never pick up a 12-pack of Miller Lite.
Probably the same experience that I'd have going to the NASCAR race.
No, you wouldn't, because there's not a bunch of, you know, drunk rednecks yelling at you with there's dirt in your face.
We don't use that word on the show.
Drunk people, dirt in your face.
What else we got in the text line?
Another texture text. Oh, the text line is like Pred's playoffs level right now. Chad texted in and said, "Jared, the way you feel about NASCAR is how a lot of people feel about hockey. We still support the Preds, but still."
Yeah, I mean, I'll just say this. Jared and the GM became the number one show at 4 o'clock, the number one sports show at 4 o'clock in Nashville because the Predators won the President's Trophy. And I don't think if Bobby Labonte wins on Saturday, I don't think that that thing is carrying us to the
top. Is that a real person?
Bobby Labonte?
Uh-huh.
Dude, Bobby Labonte was like a NASCAR driver, probably still is, and there was Terry Labonte and Tommy Labonte, and I think there was another Labonte.
Oh, so you do like NASCAR.
No, just because I know who the names are. Sterling Marlin. I think there was Sterling
you
Marlin.
You don't know Bubba.
And Sterling Martin, but I could be wrong about that.
You know Dale.
All right, let's see how many NASCAR drivers I can
Okay.
Do. Okay, we do the Ian, how often do we do this? We do this like once every year. Oh, Ian's on the phone. Okay, so let's see. Martin Truex Jr.
Okay.
Kurt Busch. Kyle Busch.
Okay.
Austin Dillon.
Okay.
Bubba Wallace.
Okay.
Brad Keselowski.
Wow.
Jimmy Johnson.
Okay.
Matt Kenseth.
You're naming off more than I thought
Clint
you would.
Clint Boyer. Trevor Bayne.
Look at you.
How many is that?
More than I thought.
So, okay.
So, what I was a swimmer growing up, and around the Kentucky Derby, we would play this game called Rock Band or Racehorse. And they would, like, name out a name, you know, whatever. Name a rock band or a racehorse. And you had to guess if it was a rock band or a racehorse. If you were wrong, you would have to swim a lap. I feel like we could do that with NASCAR drivers. Like, is it NASCAR driver name, or is it just something that you made up?
We could do that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll hit the headlines with Caroline next. Unless we get even more NASCAR backlash. I reserve the right there for that, but we'll do that next. Fireball Hot Take Friday is live from the Gaylord Springs Golf Club. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025 the game. Fireball Hot Take Friday, Fireball NASCAR Friday, live at the Gaylord Springs Country Club for the NFL Alumni Golf Tournament. So we do need to get these headlines with Caroline, but apparently this is just way too much fun. Talking about the Allied 400 is going Sunday, right?
It is Sunday, yes.
Sunday, 2:30 right here, ESPN 102.5 the game. And again, I'm glad we have – let me reset my feelings on this.
Okay.
I'm glad we have a NASCAR race.
Oh, now you are.
I'm glad. But I can't get into it. Like, I can't myself get into it. And then when I talk about why I don't like it, you know, it kind of turns into like this. Like, I don't want people who like NASCAR to think I'm making fun of them. Because I understand you like NASCAR. I get it. A lot of people like a lot of different things. But I cannot get into it. Like, you cannot put a topic on the grid that I could be passionate about when it comes to this NASCAR race. Like, if you were to say, hey, at 3:52, let's talk about whether or not Clint Boyer is the favorite to win the Allied 400. I can't do that. I have no feeling towards that. And if I turn the race on, I have no feeling towards it either. I have no idea how these people like Chase literally watch this stuff and are like, yo, this thing is just the bomb. And I'm not dumping on it. I'm just saying, I don't know how you do that. I don't get it. NASCAR is just not for me. What do we have in the text?
One texter texted in and said, I'm really only impressed by NASCAR when they show the pit crew change tires, which really is. I feel like that defies the laws of physics. We're talking about physics earlier.
Sure. Talk about tires earlier,
talk
too.
About tires. Big day for physics and tires.
Like, it took like 2.5 hours for me to get my tires done today. And it takes them about 35 seconds.
Yeah, why can't they all be like that? Yeah. Just zir, zir, zir. It's a quick little process. It is truly amazing. One texter texted in and said, Miller Lite, yeah, right. You're on that seltzer grind.
Let me see who texted that in. I'm only saying this because, oh, no, I don't know that number.
I do.
You do. I mean, I would say this. First of all, I am a Fireball guy.
Okay.
Above anything, I'm a Fireball
course,
guy.
Of course, of course.
Secondly. I'm more of like a, like either a hard liquor straight or a hard seltzer guy. 100%.
Okay.
Like I am not, I always thought, like, I'll be honest, like I thought I was going to be the kind of guy who would like drink beer all day And like when I was like 14, like I thought like I'd be some guy that just sat around drinking Bud Light all day. And like honestly, not my thing. I remember when I was like 16, 17, I went to a Braves game with my dad, and it was like 99 degrees. It may have been 100 that day. They played the Tigers. And I just remember this guy had drilled like 6 beers. And I asked my dad, I'm like, hey, do you think when I'm older, like that guy, do you think I'm going to be like super into drinking beer? And he was like, honestly, yeah. Yeah, I think you will be.
Yeah.
And I have just never gotten into it.
It's not for everyone.
I have never been like, oh, yeah, ice cold beer. Oh, yes. That's never been my thing. And maybe I mean, I'm not against it. Like, I could drink beer, but I'm just not super into it. Like, Floyd never drinks hard liquor. Never. But I drink beer. And I got no interest. Like, to me, if I'm drinking alcohol, like, I'm drinking alcohol, like, to drink alcohol. Like,
yeah.
I'm not drinking alcohol, like, to, you know, drink beer, you know.
See,
yeah,
that is my drink of choice, is a beer. Just nothing better.
I'm just not a beer guy.
Listen, I get it. It's not for everyone. Mark texted in and said, NASCAR is about as boring as golf without Tiger Woods. Now, I've heard a lot of these NASCAR golf comparisons.
Golf without Tiger Woods does suck. I mean, it is kind of the same. It's essentially a barnstorming tour. Like, the way that it used to be with baseball when baseball first started was you would take, like, the baseball to different cities.
Uh-huh.
And be like, oh, we've got baseball. And you'd bring both teams, and you'd have a barnstorming tour. And now teams have their own cities, their own thing. Golf and NASCAR are just a total barnstorming tour. You just take the same guys to a different place every weekend, and they do the same thing
it's
over
like
and over again.
Same thing, but different personality.
But see, I have a hard time. Like, I understand at least with golf. Like, I get that the conditions can be different and the greens can be different and the courses can be different and whatever. In NASCAR, if one guy is a better driver than everybody else, how does he not win every single race?
Well, I mean, I guess you could say that about football. Like, how are you going to say that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers can't win every single game this year?
But there's a difference because football, like, requires, like, there are elements that change with football. Like, one team can do something better than the other team. In NASCAR, it's just driving. It's just like, so one team, for example, can really rush a passer. So they can take an offense that moves the ball and neutralize it. And if that offense can't run the ball, they're in trouble. Whereas in NASCAR, it's literally just putting your foot down as hard as you can and like driving around stuff.
Well, there's and skill so and you got to box people out. And
yeah, right, I think a lot of it has to do with the actual car itself and like your crew and the equipment that it has and how it's
right,
running.
But like if my car is better than your car, then wouldn't my car be better than your car next weekend too?
But if you're not a better driver.
But what I'm saying though is like if I'm the best driver. Uh-huh. Right, like if we took a NASCAR driver, if we took all the NASCAR drivers and we pulled, who is the single best driver of a car in NASCAR, right? And like, let's say they all voted Joey Logano. And so Joey Logano is the best driver in all of NASCAR. If that were the case, then if Joey has the best car, shouldn't he win every race?
Well, and you talk about conditions, Ian brought up a good point with the pit crew. Like, what if your pit crew just totally screws something up whenever they're changing your tires? What if you blow out a tire? What if somebody nicks you in the side? I mean, not every single race is the exact same.
But wouldn't you expect, like, Bobby Fischer to win every chess match? Because he's the best chess player of all time.
Well, there's no really other conditions in chess other than just being good at chess.
Right, but my point is like, okay, if you make the wrong decision one time in one chess match, it could cost you the whole match, which is the same thing. Like, okay, if your pit crew screws up, then it screws up the whole race. I mean, again, maybe, you know.
But sometimes you just can't control some things.
Maybe Brad Keselowski's pit crew was good last week and they're not going to be good this week, like a field goal kicker. I don't know. But I do not understand NASCAR. And I'm not against it. Let me say, for the umpteenth time, if you like it, I am not against it. I am okay with you liking NASCAR.
A texter said there's tuning and adjustments and suspensions and tire pressure. Those are all car things.
There is that. That I will give you. But, again, like, maybe, I don't know.
Texter said, watching a race on TV is painful, no doubt about it. Though if you've never been to a race, I wouldn't be so quick to judge. The atmosphere is really energetic, and talk about incredible people watching. That's what I'm saying. It's all about the environment and the atmosphere. It
is true. 11-year-old
so
Caroline
fun.
Enjoyed herself at her one trip to Talladega.
I did have a wonderful time when I was 11 years old, and I said before that if I loved it when I was 11, I think I'll love it now because now I can drink, and that would be fun too.
Yes. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We will get to headlines with Caroline next. And I guess we'll get back to your phones on NASCAR because why not? 615-737-1025. FanDuel Sportsbook. That is my official sportsbook app. The NBA playoffs are here, and you'll be in hoops heaven betting all the action on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. There are so many exciting matchups, and FanDuel is taking that excitement to another level because new and existing users can bet risk-free throughout the playoffs. New users can get up to $1,000 back if your first bet doesn't win. Plus, once you have an account, you can bet one same-game parlay risk-free every week. Money line, point spread, first basket score, player points, rebounds, assists, you name it. And if you don't win, you'll get up to $10 back. Just sign up using the promo code JGM to bet the NBA playoffs risk-free exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. 21 and older and present in Tennessee, risk-free first bet for online real money wager only, and refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Same-game parlay refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same-game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile/web. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.